Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, soon to be Liberty State, Spokane Valley. Brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. Once again, this is not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it's about Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to talk today a little bit. Been talking a little bit about fear and the idea that, you know, we should just kind of sit back. Just not true. And I want to talk today about competency and what that means, why that's important, why it's an American thing we need to get back to, and why most people don't even recognize that it's actually something Christian. It's a Christian duty. And we should all walk competently, not, oh, that'll be taken care of. That's going to be not my problem. But we actually embrace the fact that we are called in Scripture, in many, many places, to be competent. All right, I want to talk first then about Proverbs 3:21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Most people know Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. But how about 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work? That we should not just be relying on the Lord, we should be competent as well. In fact, part of our call is competency. That we need to be looking out in the future. And guys, I know you're gonna relate to this. I know a lot of guys will relate to this. But when you see somebody that just kind of stands there and you've got something you got to get done, and they aren't looking out to see what needs to be done and just going to do it without being asked, that's actually competency as Christians. Are we competent enough to understand the situation, competent enough to realize where the help needs to be, and competent enough to understand what needs to be done before being asked to do it? That the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Now, it doesn't mean we lean on our own understanding, okay? We lean on the Lord's understanding. But it also means that we just don't sit back either, that we develop skills, that we become competent in whatever area, and as many areas, actually. There was this old thing when I was a kid about being a Renaissance man. A Renaissance man was somebody who could shoot a rifle, chop wood, read poetry, write poetry, play the guitar, play athletics, and do all of those things competently. And the idea wasn't to become so self-sufficient you didn't need to rely on God. It was to do it with God and through all of those different areas competently, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and making disciples. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Okay, part of our thing, part of our duty, our thing that we need to put at the center, our mission, is to competently spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, imparting those spiritual truths. And we seem to have forgotten that. We seem to think, and I've seen this candidly in various generations, but particularly in the younger generation, this idea that you don't have to be competent to become a leader or put in a leadership position, that you can just kind of jump to the head of the line. Now, that's not to say that things should always be based on seniority. That's not true either. But what I'm saying is this, that competency also comes experientially. It's not just learning the skills, learning the knowledge, praying for wisdom. It's also learning experientially. And as Americans, we need to change our thinking specifically to address those areas right now where we're just sitting on the sidelines and not doing anything when we know there's work to be done, or we should know there's work to be done and we should be getting it done. Why does everybody have to rely on the pastor to tell them everything to do? Wouldn't a pastor be very overjoyed if people saw the work that needed to be done, competently figured out how to get it done, and did it without being asked? My goodness, that initiative, that innovation is what has made America great, and it is part of the Christian walk. And I think we need to embrace it again. It's just so frustrating sometimes to see people just standing there, not doing anything. So I'll leave you with this. 2 Timothy 2:1. You then, my child, be strengthened by grace that is in Christ Jesus, and that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Then it says this, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Wow. Share in the suffering. It means you don't just get a jump to the head of the line and become the leader just because. Be competent. Live in a way that is blessing other people. And embrace this notion of the need to be competent as part of our Christian walk again. Well, that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. I've got a ton of news today. From the Middle East, first, Debka file. Kind of an interesting headline talking about the fact that if Iran begins enrichment again, that the U.S. and Israel are poised to attack its facilities. Also, according to Debka file, it looks like now Russia may be aligning with the United States in regards to evicting Iran from Syria. So some pretty fast-moving geopolitics. I want to tell you something else I learned. I was reading a report on China and the geostrategic future threats to America. And one of the interesting things is that the Turkey is aligning now with China, specifically economically, in that the Chinese are coming in to build the Turkish economy. Well, that's going to be a proxy in the Middle East for China. So as you're looking out 5-10 years into the future, understand that that's where it's going and that Turkey is now very clearly moving away from NATO and Europe and China is coming in with a vengeance there. Also on the international front, Trump has canceled the summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and places the United States Armed Forces on the ready. There was quite a bit of rhetoric going back and forth. I honestly thought, I still think it's posturing. I still think this is posturing. But apparently, Pyongyang insulted Vice President Mike Pence as a, quote, political dummy and issued threats, including, quote, we are just as ready to meet in a nuclear confrontation as at the negotiating table, excuse me, end quote. So I think Trump did the right thing, but I still think this is posturing. I really do. I think it's just words. North Korea is not going to act without the Chinese, especially weighing in. Also on the international front, now the confirmation. InfoWars reported on this a long time ago. Now Fox News has confirmed that under the Obama administration, weapons did in fact end up in the hands of Al-Qaeda, U.S. weapons in Syria. So that is now a conclusive fact. And some of those apologists for that policy have some explaining to do. The fact that there were no checks in the system to stop that from happening, or was it allowed to happen intentionally? Some really big questions being raised. Also on the international front, Hungary and Prime Minister Viktor Orban. If you don't know this guy, you gotta listen to him. Listen to a couple speeches. He's just amazing. But one of the best things he's done is he is now chasing out George Soros and his empire out of Hungary, the Open Society Foundation, closing its offices and moving to none other than, of course, Berlin. We'll save that commentary for another day. But George Soros moving out of Hungary and moving his operations out. Great job, Viktor Orban. Let's see if they can freeze some of those accounts maybe too. See if there can be maybe, I don't know, some criminal prosecution. On the national front, the State Department Inspector General referred for criminal charges agents from the DOJ and the FBI. And I got to tell you something, this whole thing was Spygate, the fact that they physically put a spy in the Trump campaign in addition to eavesdropping, okay? And that these things are now true. Factually true, and the left is not reporting on any of this. This is bigger than Watergate. No question about it. This is bigger than Watergate by an order of magnitude. The fact that the intelligence apparatus of the United States of America, including parts of the law enforcement apparatus of the United States of America, was used intentionally for political purposes should stun. I mean, the word coup gets thrown around quite a bit. But folks, when people are doing that to that level, that is essentially what they are trying to do. They are trying to determine the outcome of an election through illegal means. If these allegations get substantiated in a court, and that is not only un-American, that needs to be cut out like a cancer from our government. Those deep staters need to be, they just need to be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. This is so beyond outrageous. Congress now advocating for a second special counsel to investigate these allegations. They're saying some of these things appear to be substantiated. The deep state looks like it's unraveling. There are several FBI agents now that are saying they want subpoenas so they can testify and come forward and specifically testify against Comey. And I got to tell you something. A few years ago, I called Comey to account at a local Republican meeting. And I was rebuked for that because they said Comey is a man of integrity. Well, look at where we're at today. President Trump blasted the criminal deep state that's coming to us from the New American and saying, quote, look how things have turned around in the criminal deep state, end quote. people need to be prosecuted. And I hope Trump just, he doesn't stop there, that he actually moves forward. I really do. It's not enough for these guys to go into early retirement. They need to be punished to the full extent of the law. It's crazy that this is happening. But with all these people now saying they're willing to testify, it looks like the deep state's unraveling. We're going to see something like we have never seen in America. Mark my words. This is the biggest boomerang, as Sean Hannity said. The biggest boomerang ever. I mean, they tried to do this whole phony Russian collusion thing, and now it's coming back on them. And who knows what the depths of this are. I mean, we haven't even got to Uranium One and some of these other things. All right, also on the national front, DARPA and its kill web. Good night. Who thinks this stuff up? And the implications of that, quite honestly, I mean, if that's used in military circles, I can understand. I get it. But the same technology can be used on the civilian side. And so we need to be thinking about right now how to put some checks in place to make sure it's not used or slash abused. Also on the national front, an article coming out from Ars Technica, probably one of the most profound articles in a long time on surveillance. Americans are being tracked in real time without a warrant. And this is how it works. Prison technology company Securus, using data aggregator 3C Interactive, which uses tracking company LocationSmart, gets cell location data and provides that information to the government with no proper verification of a warrant. Wow. Ars Technica, check that article out. Yes, you have a personal tracking device if you have a smartphone now. Makes you want to be a Luddite, doesn't it? And if you don't know what a Luddite is, you can look it up. All right, also on the national front, Amazon is coming to us from Technocracy News. Amazon, the largest such company in the world, is selling its facial recognition platform, Recognition, spelled with a K. That's nice. And it's being sold en masse to police departments and other agencies throughout America. Huh. So if you wanted to know if there was a connection, this is how it works. Amazon sells the software to Data Fusion. You see how this is working, okay? You guys see this kind of common theme. Amazon sells its software to Data Fusion Systems, which is a company whose goal is, quote, to provide actionable intelligence to authorities, end quote. Wow. Don't know what to really say about that other than this stuff's real, folks, and we need to get a handle on it as soon as possible. Also on the national front, gun confiscation and now criminalization being called for. Representative Eric Swalwell of California says, quote, we should ban possession of military-style semi-automatic assault. Well, this guy probably has never fired one. We should buy back such weapons from all those who choose to abide by the law, and we should criminally prosecute any who choose to defy it by keeping their weapons, end quote. In other words, use the force of government at the point of a gun to take your firearms, okay? That's what this guy is saying. I've said it for years. This is what their agenda was. People tried to poo-poo it. It's conspiracy theory, blah, 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 blah. Ignorant, uneducated mush. Ignorant, uneducated mush. It's there, black and white now. You can look at several articles. I think the New American has an article on it, and also WorldNet Daily. They want to take your guns, and they want to criminalize you if you try to keep them according to the Constitution. Gracious. Also on the national front, the Boy Scouts. First, they take the word boy out of scout, Boy Scouts. So now it's just scouts. And then they say there needs to be condoms at the World Jamboree. Now, some websites, see, guys, understand that Snopes is no longer credible, okay? And people that try to quote Snopes, please don't do that anymore because they are no longer credible. They have been completely shown to be a partisan hack website, don't even quote them anymore, because you lose credibility quoting Snopes, okay? Unless I guess you're saying that even Snopes agrees, you know, then I guess that would be credible. The bottom line is some people were trying to send out this saying, oh, it's not really true. They're not going to be handing out condoms at the World Jamboree. They're just going to have them at the medical aid station. Why do you need condoms at the World Jamboree for scouting? Question mark. Answer that. And that's the kind of ridiculous rationalization that we see so often. And they were citing Snopes as saying it was debunked, right? It's not debunked. There's going to be condoms at the Boy Scout World Jamboree. Unreal. And, you know, I was an assistant scoutmaster for years. It's just so sad to see this happening. It really is, because scouting was a great opportunity for a lot of kids to get out in the woods, learn some skills, become competent in some skills, and use those skills later in life. All right, also on the national front, NFL players and personnel must stand now for the national anthem, or the teams are going to face fines. A day late and a dollar short? I don't know. I guess they saw how much money they lost. Yeah. A year later, when they do their marketing, they do their marketing analysis, they figure out, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done that. Oh, brother. Well, you know, free speech has a price. Remember, the NFL's a business. And apparently, it's hitting their pocketbooks. All right. Let's go next on the national front to an interesting... This really did not get a lot of play. Maybe I missed it. But I was looking around for it, and I didn't see it. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's out there. It just doesn't seem like the media or anybody is really picking up on this, but this is a fairly significant development at the national political level. I like to, you know, think that people are pretty well read on this stuff. When it comes to politics, but some of this stuff I think just goes under the radar, even though it has some pretty significant importance. Okay. Tea Party Patriots had this article. And I don't know. I want to make sure that I don't like try to overblow this any, but essentially, there were 100 conservatives that sent a letter to Jim Jordan of the Freedom Caucus, urging him to, quote, clean house. And this has, I mean, this is names of every major conservative, Vigory, Meese. You've got, I mean, Frank Gaffney, Cleta Mitchell, Ken Cuccinelli, Ann Schaffley. Boy, I mean, Tim Massey, gun owners, man, this has everybody on it, urging Jim Jordan to actually make it an election year issue, who people are going to vote for leadership, and urging him to run for Speaker of the House starting now, now that Paul Ryan is not going to be part of it. Very interesting development, and something I think we should keep our eyes on. That's normally you don't see that kind of bold, well-supported call like that. All right, on the regional front, let's see. Coming from Fox News, this happened outside of North Bend. A cougar attacked and killed one man and injured another. I bring this up for a couple reasons. First of all the people say, "Oh, you know, those nice little wolves and stuff are in the, you know, it's not, they're not nice. These animals were kept at minimums for a reason. There was a reason cougars were allowed to be hunted with dogs for years, and I think that needs to return to Washington State." And also, Wolves need to be managed now. They're attacking cattle. They're causing severe depredation, as we really outlined on Tuesday's show. It just makes sense. Also on the regional front, I want to talk too about this report coming from the AHA Foundation. That's the AHA Foundation. In regards to female genital mutilation, a lot of people have been up in arms about this around the United States. And they came out with a new report rating each state. Well, Washington has an F. And the reason we do is because we keep introducing legislation and they won't even give it a hearing to stop this horrific practice. In fact, it's so bad that some people take their child on vacation to get them mutilated, and then they come back, and then the school district has to deal with it because of infections, etc. This is just a horrible practice. Now, this is completely distinguished from circumcision, which there are many studies out there that actually say that it's good. Now, I know there's going to be a rush now of people sending me things about studies that say it's bad, but the fact of the matter is, it does not do the kind of catastrophic damage that female genital mutilation does intentionally. And again, this is something that is in compliance with Sharia law. All right, also on the regional front, I have a few more days to weigh in at the Department of Agriculture's website on the hemp rules that are coming up. And make sure you do, because they're really trying to make the hemp market completely non-functional in Washington State. So try to weigh in that they need to stop the rulemaking now and actually start promoting the market. Also, Seattle, this coming to us from the Daily Wire, 1 week after passing this head tax on major businesses, this employment head tax, okay, they now want to increase property taxes even more. Even though King County property owners already saw a bump of 17% in their property taxes in 2017, they want to increase property taxes even more, amounting to another $250 per year for homeowners. People just can't afford this. It's crazy. Why do they keep bringing this up? Wow. Well, on top of that, California, indeed moving to ban Bibles using the Consumer Protection Act, and political speech now can be sanctioned because of the Consumer Protection Act here in Washington, according to at least one judge. Well, that can't be true. It's not commercial speech. Even though you might be using commercial vendor to speak, that doesn't mean it's commercial speech. And anyway, you're seeing a trend for the left using consumer protection law to go after conservative speech. Mark my words, that's exactly what's going to happen. And they're already doing it. All right, also on the regional front, Jim Pena, Region 6 Forester out, a swamp dweller gone, retiring early as of July 3rd. And to folks out there in the Trump administration, bravo. Also on the regional front, Governor Inslee, unsurprisingly, defending vigorously the slaughter of the unborn, defending the practice of aborting a baby because they have Down syndrome, defending the practice of aborting a baby because they are a girl. You want to talk about the real war on women? That's the real war on women, and Governor Inslee's defending it. Can anybody say we need a new governor? 2020 can't come soon enough. Also on the regional front, this is pretty important to understand. There was only one media outlet that I know of that was reporting on this. But the trial for the FBI agent Joseph Astorita, who was accused of firing two shots at Lavoy Finicum during the Dead Man's Roadblock, and then was accused of covering it up. That trial is now underway. And we will see what happens in Oregon over this thing. But it seems like nobody's reporting on it. But looks like there finally is at least a criminal trial on this. And I know there's going to be more coming out on that later as the civil case moves forward. Just so horrible. It didn't need to happen. And the law seems pretty clear. In fact, there's a Supreme Court case that came down here in Washington State from Division III that really talks about the use of dead man's roadblocks and the fact that you can't do that when it's not a fleeing felon. You know, in this case, it looks like Lavoie Finicum didn't have a warrant out for his arrest. He was actually going to law enforcement in a neighboring county. Yeah, they have a big problem on this one. They really do. All right. Also, I want to jump back up to something because this got missed. This is on the international front in Iraq. Muqtada al-Sadr. For those of you that didn't serve over there, didn't have family members served over there, Muqtada al-Sadr is one of the worst bad guys over in Iraq. Well, he won parliamentary elections, and his coalition is now poised to exert some significant control in Iraq. Now, he was a radical Shiite cleric, militant, had what was called the Mahdi militias and Mahdi army. Wow, just significant. And I forgot to mention that, but I want to make sure a lot of you out there that served over there know exactly what the import of that is. So we're going to keep paying attention to that as well. All right, lastly, on the local front, Red Pill Expo coming up June 21st through 23rd down at Spokane Convention Center. Look forward to seeing everybody there. And you can also go online. You can buy tickets and use the code SHEA, S-H-E-A, and get a 15% discount. Lastly, Spokane County Lincoln Day is going to be June 2nd, and we'll have more information out on that. But if you get the opportunity, Jason Chaffetz is going to be there. Be good to show up. We're going to have a 51st State table there as well, Liberty State, and you can get stuff there and talk to people about what's happening. So anyway, I think, you know, if you don't have anything to do that night, even if you do, maybe you can move it. Saturday, June 2nd at the Davenport Grand Hotel. You can buy tickets online at SpokaneGOP.com. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for the show. And if you get a chance, you can go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. You can also go to VoteShea.com. And I want to remind people, a lot of people were asking me to remind listeners, and I really appreciate this, that we podcast on Podbean. It's B-E-A-N, Podbean. And also on iTunes. You can look up Matt Shea on either one. And if you miss a show, you can catch it on podcast. Well, it's my honor today to introduce my guest, Debbie Bacigalupi, and I love being able to say that name without messing it up now. Ambassador at Large for Technocracy News. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? Sounds like you guys have a lot of things coming up over in Spokane area.
Yeah, we got so much going on. It's unreal to keep up with, you know, and following up on this second Larry Clint Wooten email and letter, and the Finicum case is now, you know, kind of moving into a next stage. Boy, it's just a lot happening. So what's going on in the technocracy news world?
Well, you know, the surveillance and, I mean, just all sorts of different things. I think since we last talked, I went to the United Nations Habitat 9 conference, and I also went to China to check out their surveillance, and it's incredible. So we're moving towards cities for all. And their estimate, the United Nations and all the 190 whatever countries that have signed on to the Paris Agreement, which I understand there's a new Paris Agreement coming out, and it has been quoted as the Paris Agreement on steroids, with no one left behind, not even the United States of America. So, which includes massive surveillance where, you know, everything that you do is recorded and tracked and traced. And we're seeing bits of that here in the United States. We're seeing, you know, new streetlights and street lamps going up with audio and video cameras in it. I mean, you can't even go to the bathroom these days in a restaurant without there being a video camera right there, Matt. It's kind of in your face these days, isn't it?
It really is. You know, I appreciated the article you guys had on Technocracy News about Amazon selling their facial recognition spelled with a K, which I found creepy, by the way. We're going to turn that backwards, you know, like America or something. Remember that TV mm-hmm. show back in the day? Anyway, mm-hmm. and selling the technology to law enforcement as if there's just no issue at all with that. What are you seeing as the trends? And could you give us some specific examples of some of the things that China is actually doing right now to literally catalog every single citizen in that massive country?
Sure. And I think the most in-your-face thing when you get to China, I was in Shanghai, is every corner of every street corner, all four corners, sometimes six, depending on the intersection, have 30 cameras on a street corner. That's times four or times six. So every direction, there are video cameras. They had, at the United Nations conference, they had their latest technology, which they said that Shanghai, Beijing, a couple other places, London, there were a few more places, I think Singapore, where they have this, they're using facial recognition technology, and they had these big, Matt, they had like all these TV monitors, huge TV monitors on one of their exhibit walls. And as people walked by, even in groups, you know how you're taking a picture with your cell phone and now it boxes over your face? Even Facebook is doing this, where it boxes over your face and suggests who that person is. Well, they were showing this in this exhibit area with, I think there were nine huge video monitors, each one with different kinds of surveillance. One of them was, as you're walking through a crowd, the cameras pick up every face. And what shows on the right-hand side of the monitor is the name of the person. So it picks up the original, like let's say it'll pick up your driver's license picture. And it'll spread out all that information, your social security, your date of birth, your address, obviously your name, and any other information that they want to start adding in there. And when I interviewed these people, this technology, I can't remember what it was called. It was smart technology, smart surveillance technology is what they called it. And when I interviewed these people, did a video about it, and I've been showing it in my presentations as I'm asked to speak about sustainable development, technocracy, Agenda 21, the new urban agenda, the 2030 agenda, and the new Paris Agreement or the Paris Agreement on steroids. They said this is advanced technology. It's ready to go in. It's already being put in places. They can tie it to any kind of, let's say you had a speeding ticket, and so they can tie it to a speeding ticket, any fees you didn't pay, any fines, even to your good global citizen marking, which is another crazy thing. But for an example, in China, if you do not have like a good global citizen marking, you might not be able to rent an apartment, let's say. So they shared all this stuff with me, and it was just astonishing. And I said, how far is America? And he said, oh, well, you guys are looking into it too. So it's here. It's just a matter, you know, it's like the wolf situation. We're getting all these wolves sent from Canada, then down into Washington, and then Oregon, and then down into California. We were told about these wolves. You know, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And this is the same thing with this smart surveillance technology. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it's rolled out here.
You know what, it is frightening, and it's interesting to me that some people don't take this stuff seriously. I mean, you know, understand the implications of what you just said. You basically get rated, okay? You get rated according to a leftist communist agenda about mm-hmm. what access to the rest of society you can have. I mean, isn't that slavery in a sense? I mean, really, because aren't we supposed to be free to do whatever we want to? And the fact that they're even thinking about testing this here in the United States, and you combine that with, you know, a digital cryptocurrency that would be a national currency, this seems like a world I don't know if a lot of people would want to live in.
No, but you know what, Matt, and sometimes it's overwhelming. Like, all the stuff you guys have going on in your neck of the woods is overwhelming. We have the, you know, we're battling you guys for the state of Jefferson, the 51st state. So I love it, because we're in competition. Who can get there first? But that's exactly why for those reasons are why people are stepping up and seeing that things are happening. They don't like it. Then they start to question what is going on here. And eventually, just like probably you, I know this was for me for sure, I started seeing when I was working for Google, strange things happen, you know, things that were like, huh, no to self. You know, whether it's somebody bashing cattle ranchers and saying cows are causing global warming, everything we use has livestock byproduct in it. So why are we attacking livestock? Why are we attacking carbon? Everything we use has carbon in it. Petroleum. Why are we attacking petroleum? Most of the products we use are petroleum, or even have gotten to us by petroleum, asphalt, you know, tires and cars. And so, as you know, as that started happening at Google, and water issues with my parents' ranch, I just started adding up the pieces that this does not feel like, you know, the country that I grew up in. And so I just started doing more research. So all of this stuff, you know, for me, I hope for others, is kind of like a rude awakening. And then when you're like, okay, something doesn't feel right, you want to research and get to the bottom of it. And, you know, eventually I think people will come to the realization. I hope they do. I pray they do, that I did, that this is an evil plan. It is pure evil. You cannot push this agenda on people like sustainable development and intermittent, unreliable energy, solar panels and wind turbines. It's not always sunny and it's not always windy. So where are we going to be getting, if that is 90% of where we're going to be getting our energy in the 21st century, and it's expensive, and you've got to update it, and oh, by the way, it's fossil fuel and livestock byproducts that go into solar panels and wind turbines. You know, it's hurting the poor, and so it's going to hurt the middle class if it hasn't been already. And this is pure evil, Matt. It's pure evil.
Well, I don't think that folks understand, you know, how invasive some of this stuff could end up being. And they always make this comment to me, which it's a little irritating, candidly, where they will say, I've got nothing to hide, Debbie. I embrace technology. I want a better world. And technology, in a lot of respects, has made the world better. And I don't think that they understand truly how this will be used to control people. It'll be used to control water and food. And, you know, I mean, up here in Spokane, we had this plan that was floated out, and it wasn't by a liberal. It was by somebody who claims to be a conservative, that we should have aerial easements to allow drones over your property to monitor your water use. That was a real thing that occurred here. And it seems like, you know, we talk to folks like that, and they're like, I don't want to live in a world like that. Well, great. What are you doing about it? What is your comment on that?
Well, for people, I don't like people knowing too much information about me, and I'm pretty out there. I mean, you can look up my name and you can see I'm, you know, been quite vocal about how I feel. But when you're getting into like personal items, like what I can purchase or what I purchased, and to me, it's scary when you look up, like I talk to my sisters on the phone, and all of a sudden, through my computer, I'm now getting ads for this very same thing that my sisters and I were just talking about. And it's spooky. It's spooky. But here's the thing with technocracy. Where do they stop? It's not like all of a sudden they're just going to start. It's data mining. And once they start, they never stop. That's the scary thing about technocracy. It's just, to use a food example, you know, it's they're now working on beetle protein to replace meat protein, like from livestock. And you ask the question, where do these scientists, these technocrats, these scientific dictators stop? And I guess if somebody is like, you know what, I don't care, then so be it. I guess, you know, they're okay with people being invasive in their personal business. But I guarantee there's going to be a point where they say, okay, enough is enough. And at that point, Matt, if the majority of us are still asleep and we're like, oh, it's okay, I can give up, you know, a little bit of more data. And if all of a sudden people are getting to the point where that's enough, I'm afraid it's gone too far. You know, another example is computer software upgrades. Do you know that the more we upgrade our software, the more data information we're giving up? Like in order to get an app, a phone app, you've got to give them access to your camera, to your photos, to your contact list. I don't know. To me, that's pretty scary. But we do a lot of times submit for the convenience of the latest, greatest app. But at one point, at some point, people have to say, and I guess it's an individual thing, is where do you draw the line? And I don't know, in a country that is allows individual freedom and liberty, to me, I think we are on the edge of losing that, and is it worth the convenience of, you know, like safe cities, for example, and where they are going to, they say that in order to have a safe city, we have to have all this surveillance. Instead of going back to, no, you teach people moral ethics. We don't need surveillance all over the place to make a safe city. No, you need to raise children to respect. And I just think, Matt, we're just going about things the wrong way. I hope I'm explaining this well. It's a challenging topic because I, too, submit to giving up data for the next greatest app that I need to, you know, save the world.
Right.
Ironic.
Well, here's where I think that I'd like to go with this. We, you know, this is one of the reasons I think people need to go to the Red Pill Expo, because people need to understand how this stuff can be used, how it already is being abused, what the future looks like in a world where you could have a national digital cryptocurrency and that's all that could be used for buying and selling. And you could have monitoring via drone over your business or your, yep, or your farm or your ranch, which Governor Inslee actually said to my face that he wanted to do was monitor property owners with drones for administrative violations. So I think that that's why people need to come to something like Red Pill, because it's not just about, we all know what a lot of the problems are, but what are the solutions?
Right. And there's a lot. And, you know, all these speakers, we've got 40 speakers. That sounds a little bit overwhelming, but some of it is panel discussions, and we have an exciting panel discussion with, you probably have heard about California, which is where I'm from. California, its backlash against what is called SB 54, which is the illegal immigration, you know, DACA and allowing illegal immigrants freely into California. And there's been a real backlash for our politicians here. In fact, city after city is rejecting my governor, Jerry Brown, his SB 54. And it's because the citizens here are really, really gathering around each other and working together to turn city by city, county by county against SB 54. And it's working. So we've got just this hot rod named Gary Galino, who's in his early 30s. So, you know, we always want younger people to get involved. We've got one of those awesome heroes. His YouTube channel is Grindall61. And he's getting hundreds of thousands of views on various different videos. But what his tactic is to go after these elected officials who are selling California down the road to communism. And he's sharing the story of some of the decisions that are made. He'll tie it back to, in his videos, he's just extraordinary. He'll tie a current issue in a city council meeting back to a city council meeting he went to last year. How he does this, Matt, I have no idea, but we're going to learn how Gary does, what he does to get, to expose these, you know, these thugs that are now running our state. And it's just extraordinary. So he's going to be in a panel discussion about that with a few others, like Mary Baker, who wrote a book called Citizen Ninja and How to Start Taking Back Your Local Area, and many others. Robert Kiyosaki to talk about money. Lord Monckton to talk about, as cities move into cap and trade schemes, more and more states are looking at it, especially under this Paris Agreement on steroids. Lord Monckton is going to get down to some of the numbers that California went through that are astronomical when it comes to trying to tax the air we breathe. We've got Del Bigtree. So for those people who are concerned about vaccinations and what they're doing to children and adults, and we also, Del Bigtree did it. He used to be on one of the producers of The Doctors and would describe himself as a former progressive liberal. And because of his understanding of what vaccinations are doing to people and the plans that they have, including in order to, this has been thrown around a bit, that in order to get on a plane, you may have to have a certain vaccine. So they're not stopping with this vaccination thing. But Del Bigtree is going to be there to talk about what's going on with vaccinations. And actually, that was another California law that other states are looking at, SB 277. We were not able to stop it. And it's something like 300 doses of vaccine in children by the time they're in college. That's extraordinary, Matt.
That is. That's beyond extraordinary. Wow. Well, hey, in the last couple of minutes that we have left, first of all, I'd like you to, you know, tell listeners where they can go for Red Pill Expo, but also where they can go to read about your articles and what you're doing. And then lastly, if you could tell the listeners a little bit about your thoughts on this Trump apathy out there. Oh, Trump's got it all handled. We don't need to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. Boy, is that depressing. Look, let me start with that first, because you just hit a chord with me. We have less than 2.5 years before either this country is gone or we have another 4-year shot to get to wake people up. In 2.5 years is our next presidential election. And every country that has signed on to the Paris Agreement and fully backs it, which is the climate change agreement that was in 2015 that Obama agreed to. By the way, we're not out of the Paris Agreement. Officially, a country who wants to be out of the Paris Agreement cannot officially be out until the day after the next U.S. presidential election, which is the year 2020. So they gave themselves a cushion, they being all the United Nations and those who backed Jerry Brown, my governor, and everybody in between who looks for a social communist state here in the United States. There is an apathy out there, Matt, and I'm seeing it as I speak around California. I'll ask people, you know, I'll set up the conversation to say, all this is happening in your city council meetings. It's happening in your own backyard. How many people are going to your city council meetings? Nobody's raising their hand. So after I speak, I say, okay, let's do, tomorrow night's a very important meeting. I'm going to be there. I'm bringing all my tools, everything we need. Who's going to show up to that meeting with me? Nobody raises their hand. And that is, to me, that's a barometer of where we are in our nation. I don't know, Matt, if it's people are exhausted or if it is, they think that Trump is, you know, doing a lot of great things and we don't have to worry now. We have, now is an opportunity that we need to pick up our game, because in 2.5 years, we could lose this country altogether. That's how close we are to losing freedom and liberty forever, 2.5 years. So I would suggest everybody go to the Red Pill Expo and check out our speakers. This has just been a phenomenal, phenomenal list that of speakers you will never, ever get in my opinion, in a room again. It will just be near to impossible. But people who across the United States are leading the charge, including you, Matt Shea, who's going to be our MC. And so for a 15% discount, go to redpillexpo.org and your code name Shea and get a 15% discount. We're doing LaVoy Fenicom's film is going to be premiered at the Red Pill Expo. We have Jordan Page coming to sing. We've got David Dees, who's an extraordinary artist who does phenomenal artwork with you know, the New World Order stuff or whatever you want to call it, or Agenda 21 or whatever you want to call it. Just an exciting lineup. Food's included. Just get yourself there if you're locally in Spokane. We may have some deals coming up for people who live in Spokane, but stay tuned, I'd say, to Matt Shea's show to find out more.
Debbie Bacigalupi, thank you very much, Ambassador at Large for Technocracy News and kind of the real helper, organizer, everything behind the scenes for Red Pill
Expo. Everything.
Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
For
Look forward to seeing
me.
You soon.
Very soon. Bye. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. So again, you can go on Red Pill Expo, type in Shea, you get 15%. Really great to have her on. I also want to mention one other thing. It is my understanding, and I've received this from several sources, that a pardon for Dwight and Steve Hammond is on the desk of Donald Trump. And there, you can go to the White House website to the petitions page. There's a petition there. Sign it. It is, as I understand it, on his desk. So that's at least the reports I'm getting. We could actually make this happen. So if you get the opportunity, go to the White House website, go to the petitions page, and sign the petition for a pardon for the Hammonds. Wow. In 1 year, you'd have the Bundy case dismissed and the Hammonds pardoned. Wouldn't that be great? And wouldn't it be great, too, if it was right before the Red Pill Expo? I think that'd be awesome. Kind of a exclamation mark on it as we honor Lavoie Finicum with Dead Man Talking in the movie premiere. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.